Thank you so much. Now, I'm excited about the missions conference coming up. We've got Gabe and Susan Ivins going to Ponape, starting out our conference on Wednesday, and then Ben and Lauren Childs will be on Thursday, Papua New Guinea. And this church not only supports them, but our church at Northside in Charleston, and Omar Shirak, a family, on Friday, and then Rickson and Susan Keeling, Pompeii, again on Sunday. So we're excited about what's each night at 7 o'clock, the banquet at 6 o'clock on Saturday. I want you to again turn to the book of Philippians in the fourth chapter. I want to finish up with some thoughts on this particular message here. The last time we met here on Sunday morning, we dealt with these. There are four principles. There are four things beginning there in verse 7. And we dealt with two of them. In other words, don't be satisfied with your past accomplishments. That's the very first thing Paul wants to bring out here in verse 7 and verse 8 and 9. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me that I counted loss for Christ. Then he said, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Paul could look back on his past accomplishments before he was saved and after he was saved. Paul said, I don't want to live there. I want to move on. So don't be satisfied with your past accomplishments. Secondly, if you notice, we talked about don't stumble into the present. Because when you get to verse 10, Paul's whole desire in life, even though I don't know of anyone in Scripture who knew the Lord, Jesus, in a greater way than the Apostle Paul, but then he says that I may know him. And Paul was not interested in stumbling into the present. And as we enter this new year, you don't just stumble into it, you plan for it. You make sure that your relationship with the life with the Lord Jesus is your greatest and most valuable priority. Now today, thirdly, don't stray from God's path. And then finally, don't stay in the past. Don't stray, don't stay. Look with me, if you will, please, to chapter 3. And look there, if you will, with me at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now think with me for that. Don't stray from the path God has for you. He said, now that word perfect is a key word. You know that I want to talk this morning about working on being perfect. Now not the idea of perfect that you think of, because oftentimes when we think of perfect, we think of what? Sinlessness. That's not what he's talking about. That word perfect comes on to the idea of growing into maturity. It's the idea of don't stray from God's path. Stay the path. Stay the course. I don't know how many of you exercise. How many of you exercise in some form or another? I don't mean just pushing away from the table, but you do or the other. All right. I'm thinking of exercise when I think of that. Before I even get into that passage, I'm thinking over there, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you just to turn there for a moment and look at verse 7, because I'm going to talk about this idea of working at being perfect, not straying from the path. If you don't work at not straying from the path, I guarantee you, you're going to stray from the path. Now, when you come over here to chapter 4 of Timothy and chapter 4 of 1 Timothy and verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, things that you shouldn't even be bothered about, then he says, exercise yourself rather in unto godliness. In other words, that word exercise comes from the Greek word. We get the word gymnastics or gymnasium. Now, I don't go to a gymnasium. I do my own way of training, of working out, but I want you to know something. It's okay to train the body and keep it in shape. That's not the most important thing in your life. It's training your spiritual life. It's doing a spiritual workout. Matter of fact, if I could say this to you, the idea of exercise yourself rather than to godliness, literally, train yourself to be godly. You think of that, maybe even I wrote that in my notes. Train yourself to be godly. It just doesn't come automatically. Train, and if you don't train, you're going to stray from the path. That's the whole idea. Now, let me give you some ideas here how to train. When you go to a gymnasium, I went once, and good night, I looked at all that equipment, I said, it's going to take me
a month just to figure out how to work the equipment here. I mean, some of that stuff's something else. And but let me just share with you, how are we going to stay, how are we going to train ourselves to be perfect? How are we going to train, exercise, how are we going to do that? I'm going to give you four thoughts here this morning. Number one, be controlling your thought life with these words. That's first thing. If you're going to train, and I'm going to train to be perfect, that is to train to be godly, to train to work out to be godly, I got news for you. You're going to have to take some spiritual sweat in getting the Word of God into your own personal being. I think we're living in the most ignorant age of our time when it comes to the Scriptures, because we have Bibles everywhere, but we do not have Bibles inside of us. We haven't taken it off the pages of Scripture. Now, control your thought life with His Word. Control your thought life. That's the first. Be controlling your thought life. Let me make sure you understand something. It is impossible to be rightly related to God and to be wrongly related to Scripture. It's just impossible to be right with God and wrongly related to Scripture. I mean, if you don't do anything with this book, I guarantee you're not going to be right with God. I'm not going to be right with God. If you do not let God do your thinking for you, listening, if you don't let God do your thinking for you, your flesh will do it for you. The devil will do it for you. The world will do it for you. The enemies will do it for you. Let me tell you something. We have to learn to think God's thoughts. I'm thinking of a couple of references, if I might. I'm thinking over there, Psalm 143, verse 8, was, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. And he says, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Cause me. I need to know the way wherein I should walk today. How am I going to know that? I'm not going to do it without God's word. Then I come over here to another very important verse, and that's over there in the book of Proverbs. And when I come over there to Proverbs chapter 6, he's talking about the Word of God in verse 22. When thou goest, it'll lead thee. That's what the Bible did. You're going to, listen, if we don't control our thought, be controlling our thoughts by His Word, how are we going to know where God's going to lead it? He says in verse 22, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. Isn't that great to be talked to by God's Word? And so the very first thing I share with you today, the Word of God needs to be speaking to us. I'm thinking we're on Sunday nights, we're in the seven churches of Revelation, and you're going to find a phrase over there in the book of Revelation. It's over there repeatedly because it talks about this. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord said. The Spirit said. What does the Spirit say? Each of the churches had something to say. Let me tell you something. The Spirit of God has something to say to me, as where the Spirit of God has something to say to you every day, so we can get God's thoughts. Seven times in the book of Revelation it says, and the Spirit said, 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 the Spirit said. Seven times. Each of the churches. I want to tell you something. The Spirit says something to each of us this morning. I need to understand something. This, be controlling my thought life through His Word. And if you don't put God's thought, you show me anyone who is angry or bitter. You show me anyone's involved in pornography. You show me anyone that's involved in some immoral sin, whatever it may be, or some addiction. It started when they didn't do something with God's Word. When they left it alone. And that's where it picks up. The very first thing to say to you, if you want to run astray, if you want to exercise, spiritual exercise, start with being controlling your thought life with His Word. God has something to say to me. I've been memorizing several verses out of the book of Psalms, Psalms lately. I've added 30 more new ones to my memory list. And boy, you know, I looked at those verses. I said, man, I didn't see that before. How many ever look at a verse and said, I never saw that before? Has anyone ever said, I just didn't see that before? That's because it leaped off of the pages of Scripture and it began to talk to you. That's what it means when it says, I haven't seen that before. The Holy Spirit says, you need this right now. This is something you need in your life. And I'm excited. I've read the Bible through at least once, so normally twice a year. sometimes three times a year, but sometimes those verses just don't jump out like when I get that off of the pages of Scripture and it gets controlling my thought life. The first thing, if you want to stray from God's path, you want to exercise, you want to work, do so by controlling your thought life with His Word. And secondly, be cultivating your spiritual hearing. Be cultivating your spiritual hearing. You know, over in Revelation, I'll not turn there, chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed is he that heareth, he that readeth and what? Heareth. Now, turn with me to I'll get it here. Turn with me to Psalm 46:10. I'm going to quote it to you. Be still and what? Hearing. Hear your spiritual hearing. Hear what he has to say. Hear what God has to say. Be still and know. Let me tell you something. The noise of a noisy world, are you listening? Keeps out the sound of God's word. Now, how many of you have hearing problems besides me? I got some real hearing problems. My wife says, you know, and she says, I am so tired of having to repeat things 2 or 3, 4 times. You know what I say to her? I'm so tired of having to listen to it 3 or 4 times. I hope by this now I get it down. My hearing is just not good. But I'm not worried about the hearing here. Are you listening? I'm worried about the hearing here. Because God wants me to cultivate my hearing as well as controlling my thought. He wants me to cultivate. Now, when he says, be still and know that I am God, the word here has the idea to abandon everything else. Abandon everything else. Think with me. I was thinking over there in First Kings. You remember, turn there with me if you got time. I mean, if you got time, if you know where it is, turn to First Kings, an important passage. It's a story over there of of Elijah. I'm having a hard time with my voice, and you'll just have to say, boy, preacher, you know, your voice looks like it sounds like you haven't matured yet. Well, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm struggling with my voice, but I don't want to struggle with my heart here this morning. Turn over there to 1 Kings 19. I'll tell you what I'm having you do here. When I turn to that particular passage there in chapter 19, it's the story of Elijah. Remember that when he got down and he got discouraged? How many remember that story? It's a great story. But then he goes to a cave. I mean, he is so down, he is so discouraged, he could spit on the floor and slide under the door. I mean, he's down. But then while he's in the cave, God comes to him. Now let me make sure you something here. Look here, beginning at verse 11. And he said, that's God talking, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains. Can you just hear the wind? Can't you hear the noise? Break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Can you not hear the sound of that earthquake? Could you not hear that? But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Can you just not see that crackling of the fire? And then the Lord was not in the fire. Where was the Lord in where? Where was he? In a still, small voice. You see, most of us want to see the spectacular. But I want you to tell you something today. God comes down where you live, and where you live daily is not in the spectacular. And God wants you just to hear that still, sweet voice of His. Not in the noise, nor in the sight, but it's in the hearing. He heard a voice. Then the next verse says in verse 13, and it was when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped up his face in a mantle, went out and stood in the entry of the gate, and behold, there came a what? Voice unto him. Voice wasn't in all the spectacular. You see, you and I live just our normal daily lives, not the spectacular. I don't imagine most of our lives are very spectacular, are they? But I want you to know something. Spiritual they are, because if you hear the voice, you hear the voice. The first thing God wants us to do in order that we can exercise spiritually simply is this: be controlling your thought life to His Word, and secondly, be cultivating your spiritual hearing. Now, I can't do a lot about this. I'm looking at hearing aids. I don't know if I'm going to get them or not, but so I can hear, and then probably I'll put them in my ears and just regret what I'm hearing now. I won't have to hear all this stuff. I don't know, but I want to hear in these eyes, in these ears. Thirdly, not only do we be controlling your thought life, be cultivating your spiritual hearing, but thirdly, be correcting your spiritual vision so you can see. So you can see. I want you to turn in the New Testament. I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians for just a moment. And as you turn to the book of Ephesians, Paul prayed two magnificent prayers. And one of them is in Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to look at that, verse 18. Here's Paul's prayer. And look what he prayed. Now, if you read here, you'll see Paul is praying. And he says in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Notice the eyes. You see, listen to me. Our inward eyes are made to see the other world, and while our physical eyes are made to see a passing world. Let me say that to you again. Our spiritual eyes are made to see the other world, while our physical eyes are made to see what? A passing world. This world's going to pass on. We're going to pass on. But thank God for our spiritual eyes that we can see. Now, turn with me to another passage. So Paul's got that prayer. Then I want you to turn, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. Because I not only see here about these ears, so correct your spiritual vision. A few years ago, Harvey, you had the same thing I did, didn't you? You had cataract surgery. Now, I still wear the glasses so I can focus out there, but I don't really need them to drive. I don't need them anymore. I remember when I got my cataracts surgery. Now, I remember people coming to me saying, now, I got a kick out of people. Say, are you still colorblind? Had nothing to do with the eyes. That's all back in the brain. I said, they asked me, how do you see the grass now? I said, blue instead of orange. Kidding with them, of course. I do see it as orange. When you see it as green. But I thought to myself, here, you know what? We look at this passage over here, and we need to be correcting our spiritual vision. I had my eyes corrected here, my physical eyes, but the question is, what about your spiritual vision? Turn over there to chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, he's talking about the things that there's seven wonderful, there's a curriculum here, sevenfold curriculum he deals with there in verse 4, 5, and 6. A wonderful curriculum. You ought to read, there's seven of them in there. Then he said, if these things be in you and abound that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And then verse 9, he says this, and underline it. But he that lacketh these things is what? He's lost sight of his condition. You know, that's a problem with a lot of Christians. There's things wrong with them, and they can't see. Are you listening? They can't see there's anything wrong with them. Everybody else can see it, but they can't see it. And so God is saying to us, we must not only controlling our thought life, cultivating our spiritual hearing, but correcting our spiritual vision. He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind. They can't see. They've lost sight of their condition. You know somebody today has lost sight of their condition? I have. You sit down with them and they can't see what's wrong with them. I know people right now can't see why they need to go to church. They can't see why they need to read. They can't see it. You know why? Because they don't want to see it. That's really the issue. They don't want to see it. He talks about a lost sight of his condition and a lost sight of his conversion. Let me tell you something. Anyone who has lost sight of their condition better look out. Maybe they aren't converted. Because look at the rest of the verse. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see what? Afar off. There's spiritual blindness. And had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He's lost sight of his conversion. You lost sight of your condition. It's because you've lost sight of your conversion. I want to tell you something. I'm tired of talking to people all the time, tell me you're converted. You never see them in church. You never see them growing. You never see them doing anything. As you know, I have a handicapped daughter. For the last 44 years of her life, she has not grown 1 ounce mentally. Not 1 ounce mentally. Now, you can say, I feel sorry for you. I feel more sorry for the person who's been a Christian who hasn't grown one bit in their Christian life. That's really a retardation. It's a terrible retardation. And my Bible tells us here, let's read that verse again. But he that lacketh these things is blind, he's lost sight of his condition, and he cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin, he's lost sight of his conversion. Lost sight of his conversion. And so he tells us here these truths. Now, so if you're going to exercise, if you're going to work on being perfect, growing, maturing, you got to be controlling your thought life with this word. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you're working on memorizing 30 or 40 more new verses? Absolutely. Does that take work? Yes, it does take work. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that, but I'm suggesting you better get something off this page of Scripture and put it inside of you. I'm suggesting if it's only one verse, you better do it. Because if not, your old nature. You know, how many have ever been depressed besides me? You don't even need to raise your hand. Most of you have been, or you're headed that way, or someone else. You're not depressed, but everybody else knows you are. I've had to talk myself out of depression. Ever talk yourself out of depression? You know how I do it? Just quote the word. Just quote the word of God. Old depression just leaves through the back door. Just leaves right through the back door. Because it can't handle. Listen, depression can't handle. Temptation can't handle. The word of God. It just takes off. Said, man, I'm not going to stay where it's at. And I just, this fellow was telling me one night, read a story of a fellow that was trying to go to sleep, and it was dark in the room, and he felt the devil just all over the place. And he looked around, he could see him, and so he thought he must be under the bed, so he just took his Bible and stuck it under the bed and quoted the verses to the devil. Now, you may laugh at that, but I like the I that theology. He just wanted the devil to know, but get out of here. I'm going to get a good night's sleep, even though you're not. So we need be controlling our thought life with his word, cultivating our hearing, correcting our spiritual vision, and be like Christ, fourthly, in our daily routine. Now, you know what's wrong. Somebody said, you know what's wrong with life? Are you ready for this? It's so daily. Think that one through for a moment. Life is so daily. I mean, you get up. How many just say, man, I got to get up tomorrow. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got this list to do. How many feel like that? You feel pressured. You're like a mummy, pressed with time. You just, everything seems to come in on you, and you got, so here it is. Now, this daily life we're talking about, this is really where the rubber meets the road. I mean, we can talk about memorizing the word, controlling it. We can talk about cultivating our spiritual hearing and correcting our vision, but I'll tell you what, being Christ-like in your daily routine, when you're going to be confronted with all kinds of things. You know what I'm talking about? How are you going to handle all that? How are you going to handle all that? A lot of people aren't handling it. A lot of people are doing, says, I just take tranquilizers. Or others say, I just take wonder drugs. Well, you take them and you wonder what's going to happen to you next. But let me give you a better thought here this morning. Let me give you three thoughts here. Be Christ-like in your daily routine, because I want to tell you, that's where it is. That's where the rubber meets the road. How are we going to handle that? Get this. Be certain of God's presence. Do not begin a day without be certain that God's going along with you. Don't even attempt to begin that day without making sure of the presence of God. I like Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11, they said, thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. There it is. Be certain of God's presence. I mean, don't even get out of bed until you're certain God's in the... You say, well, positionally, I know that to be true. No, practically, I want to feel his presence. I want to sense his presence. I want to know he's with me when I put my feet on that floor. I want to know, because I got to look that fellow in the mirror with his three hairs sticking up in the morning, and I got to deal with him. He says, show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. I'll tell you something. If you can have joy in this world today, that's a miracle. That only God can give it to you. Only he can give it to you. I mean, this world is the most unhappy place to live anymore because of all the things. But I want to tell you something. You just realize, be certain of God's presence. He says, let me read the rest of it. Thou will show me the path of life in thy presence of fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there what? Pleasure forevermore. The right hand. So I guess if I want the pleasures, and if I want the presence, I want the joy, I want praise. I'm gonna have to be certain of God's presence in my life. Start the day that way. No better way to start the daily routine of life. Every day. And to be concerned. If you listen, far too many people, God's people, are they don't have a sense of the Lord's presence. Too many of God's people have a sense of the problems they're facing, but not the presence. Now, which one do you want to focus on? I'd rather take the presence of God than the problem. Amen? I'd rather do that. And so the very first thing he tells us to do is, I tell you the scripture, be certain of God's presence. Second, be conscious of the battle you are in. You know, let me tell you what. 99.99% of the average Christians haven't the slightest idea they're in a spiritual battle. They don't even think about it. But you are. I am. Go to Ephesians 6. You could go over there and look at that if you want to sometime. Not today. But he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil's going to try to trip you up today. The world's a battleground. But you know what our problem is? We're not conscious of it. We're not conscious of it. We're not conscious of it. And you know why a lot of Christians are defeated? Because they're not conscious of it. The word wiles means he tricks us. I'm convinced the devil is out to trick us in believing he's not real in our lives. He can accomplish that. He'll go a long way in our lives. And so we recognize that if we're going to do this Christ-like in our daily routine, be certain of God's presence, be conscious of the battles that we're in because we're going to face them. And thirdly, be careful how you view life's interruptions. What do I mean by that? How many of you ever started out, say, I'm going to accomplish this, I'm going to accomplish this, I'm going to accomplish this today? Three or four things at the end of the day, you accomplish this. Yeah, am I talking to you? You getting this down? I mean, you had a list that you wouldn't believe. And you started out and you got all these things you're going to do today, and all of a sudden, interruptions. Now let me make sure we understand. Some interruptions are caused by Satan. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Paul wanted to get to the church there to be said, but Satan hindereth me. This is why you need to be conscious of the battle you're in. Amen. Paul said, you know, I believe the devil's got his demon world doing all he can to hinder us. Amen. We say amen to that. It's so true. I mean, those interruptions that I wanted to get things done today, a lot of them are caused by the old devil. Some are created by our own shortcomings. How many have ever taken a shortcut someplace and it took you twice as long? I mean, because you just didn't do it right. And I tell you what, I've been there. I've taken some shortcuts that took me three times as long to accomplish what I wanted to accomplish, whether it be in driving or doing something else. We've all been there. So some of the interruptions of life are caused by Satan, no question about it. He's out to interrupt our schedule, particularly if you got the joy of the Lord when you get up in the morning. What's he want to do? He wants to remove that joy. You're happy in the Lord and you're enjoying his presence. Wham! I can handle that one real quick. I'll just remove the consciousness of his presence. You ever been there? I've been there. I mean, you just wanted to relive that day. You couldn't wait till that night's over, that night, so you can go to bed and try to start again the next day. Understand. Some are caused by Satan. Others are created by our own shortcomings. But get this. All are under the control of God. All things. How many things? All things. What? Work together. Whether it be our shortcomings, devil after us, he may cause it, we may create it, but he's in control of it. I remember one time my first church, boy, I'm going back 46 years ago, my first church. I will forget, I worked a job, and besides taking care of the church, I was glad to do that. And finally, the church grew. I mean, we only had 15 members when we started off. And a year or two, we were up to, a couple years, we were up to 150, 160, a small town. I had to give that job up. And the fellow said to me, "You'll have to get somebody else to take this job." I was cleaning the laundromat at night. And, it bothered me the way he talked. He said, "You got to get some. You just can't leave me stranded like this." I thought, okay, I'll do it. And so I stayed on there, and I tried to get everybody to, and I was getting me down. I was putting in all kinds of hours of visiting, doing the ministry, so forth, and I had to clean laundromat. I didn't mind it, but you know what? The fella came in one day, and he said, I thought, oh, man, he came in right at closing time. And he started talking to me, and I thought, I got to get rid of this guy. I'm going to get rid of this guy. I said, you know what? If you don't get saved, you're on the head, going to hell. I mean, that's what I said to him. Now, I don't think that's quite the right way to witness. I never met him before. He said, I don't want to go there. You got time to show me so I can get to heaven? Now, those are my shortcomings, but God overruled my shortcomings. I led him to Christ. Next week, he took that job that I wanted to give up. Why am I shortcoming? You know why? Because God was in control. God's in control. Everything that the routines that happen, I have my grandchildren here. I have aged since we left Charleston to here, to get in here. I have aged many years dealing with little Kaylin. She's a sweetheart. I tell her, I said the other day, I said, "Honey, you're a mess." She said, "No, I'm a sweetheart." I think she's a mess, but that's okay. You know what? All the things happen. I mean, we're old. We don't need to be. You understand what I'm saying? Young people, you have the children. We spoil them and send them away. All right. Now get this. So don't stray from God's path. Don't do it. I'll make sure you understand that. You know, Paul said two things in every one of the epistles he wrote. He said grace and peace. Get those two words down. Grace is God's abounding provisions. And peace is God's abiding presence. I'm thankful for both today. I'm thankful for God's abundant provision of grace. It never runs out. As I go, and it takes grace sometimes to get through a day. And I thank God for God's abiding presence. He'll show me the path of life in thy presence. Oh, thank the Lord. I'm going to say a lot about the fourth one, but turn with me to 2 Timothy. I was in that passage not too long ago, but I want to go back there again. 2 Peter, the Apostle Paul's last letter that he wrote, because I not only see here, as we looked at this, don't be satisfied with your past accomplishments, said Paul. And don't stumble into the presence planet, and don't stray from God's path. And now, finally, he's going to say this, don't stay in the past. If you remember that passage in Philippians that we were looking at, he said, forgetting what? Forgetting those what? Things are behind. Now, I believe he had reference for all the good things that he did. But I'll tell you what, there's a time when you're just going to have to forget the past. But you know, a lot of people can't forget the past because there's things holding them in the past. But I like what Paul had to say here. Paul had three looks. Will you note these three looks as I close here this morning? In 2 Timothy in chapter 4. Look at those, if you will, quickly here. Beginning down here in verse 6. I want you to notice Paul's looks, inward look, and then I want you to notice Paul's backward look, and Paul's thirdly, Paul's forward look. First of all, Paul's inward look. He said, look at verse 6. He said, for now I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now that's a very important thought here. Do you notice something? I didn't see this till the other day. Paul does not use the word death. You know why? Because no Christian is ever going to die. He doesn't use it. It's a word when a soldier is ready to leave where he's at, so he moves out of his tent, puts his tent down. Paul said, the tent's the body, I'm going to move out. So there's the inward look. No matter what's going on in your life, thank God for the inward look. I'm never going to die. God's going to take care of me. And then look here, secondly, at Paul's backward look. Look at verse 7. After he goes the inward look, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. That's the past. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul looks back. Can you look back today and say, listen, everything's right between in the past. Everything's okay. Then there's Paul's forward look. The next the end of verse 8. Let's read verse 8 again. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not only to me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. That's the forward look. You're looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Let me say this in closing. There are three reasons why people are living in the past. And many people are just staying in the past. Number one is disobedience. That's it. But notice what Paul says in verse 7, I've kept the faith. There's no disobedience here. If there's something in your past that you haven't taken care of, you better go back and take care of it. You have the ability to go back and do it. Paul said, I've kept the faith. Then the second thing is doubt. Doubt. Notice he said, I like this. He said, verse 8, he says, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. No, there's no doubt in that, is he? He said, boy, I've got something coming to me. I'm going to be with the Lord. Got any doubts this morning? What did the devil do with Eve? Get her to doubt. And third thing is distractions. That's a lot of people live in the past because of distractions. He said, notice here, he said, who love his appearing. You know, a lot of people are so distracted today, they don't love the Lord's appearing. Don't let this world distract you from what God wants to do. So I say to all of us this morning, don't stay in the past. Don't stray from the present. Don't stumble into the present, that is. And don't stray from God's path, and don't be satisfied with past accomplishments. God has something in for you. Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning as we pose these thoughts this morning, I pray you'll do a work in our hearts. Father, I pray this morning, as Paul said, so wonderfully to all of us today in this text. Lord, I pray today that you'll deal with us. Go, listen, Lord, you want us to go into maturity. You want us to grow. You want us to exercise. You want us to go to your spiritual gymnasium. Lord, I'm praying today, if you've spoken to our hearts this morning in some area, I've given a lot of material here this morning. I wonder if some folks here this morning, these are spiritual vision corrected. I mean, Father, you know, and I know that they're having problems there of seeing what God wants them to see. Father, they're not seeing the way they really are. They're failing. They're pushed aside the fact they're not right with the Lord. Do something in our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray today that maybe our lives are so noisy, just full of noise. You want us just to abandon that. Lord, I pray today that What's our thought life like? Lord, if we got some problems with our thought life, we need to find a place at the altar. I pray you'll do it in our hearts this morning. Lord, as we start today, you get all the routines of life. Deal with it this morning, Lord. Let's stand together. I don't know what God may be doing, but if you're here today, God is dealing